Well, thank you for coming. Sit down, make yourself comfortable. Do you have your parking ticket receipt? I will validate your parking for you so it doesn't cost you any money today to park. And we can get started at this point. Are there any questions for me before I start the show? Yes, you in the back. What would you like to know? No, I don't. I'm sorry, but I do not. Yes, you over there in the second row. Yes, sir.
Have you got any service?
I do not. I do not. I make it a practice not to do that, at least not anymore, if you know what I'm talking about. Anybody else, any questions? Yes, young lady in the third row in the red dress. Yes. Oh, wow. That's a tough one. I would say yes under most circumstances, no under all circumstances. If that answers that for you, then you've got yourself an answer. Let's face it right now. Yes, the fat man in the sixth row with the vest. What would you like to know, sir, before we get started?
How you going?
I'm gonna answer that in this way. You shouldn't think that necessarily, if you know what I'm saying. I think that's all I'm legally able to say at this point, without incriminating myself. So I think the answers will come as they come, and come later, and come lately, if they come at all. Coming is not something that I can talk about, but I think the answers will come accordingly. I'm sorry, but I'm out of time. I really need to start the show. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
No more questions.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Yay.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you? Really? Oh my God. Good to have you here. Yeah. The roast should be out in just a second, and then we'll... Are you gluten-free? Are you? O.J. Simpson is going to be gluten-free on October 1st. Well, not gluten-free. He'll be free to walk out of the correctional facility, if I'm correct. And then, of course, he'll be free to the point where everybody will want to smack him in the head because he's a murderer. Ron, you shouldn't say that. He was in a court of law. And he was found not to be a murderer in a court of law with a jury and everything. And he paid for that. He paid those attorneys. He got the best attorneys he could and all that. And they found flaws in the investigation handling of the evidence. So the legal team did what they were supposed to do. He paid for it and he got the best. So what are we talking about here? That's right. The legal system works if you can afford it. So, yeah, O.J. Simpson, a free man. Give me a break. This guy is he's going to spend the rest of his life in hiding, pretty much. The terms of parole, it's not like, you know, okay, you're free. You're free man, O.J., Orange Juice. You're free. No, he's not. He's been paroled, which means he has to report to his parole officer. He can't drink alcohol excessively to the point of inebriation, and he can be tested at any time for inebriation. And if he does drink too much alcohol, he can go back to jail. So that's pretty not good. It's pretty not good. Also, he can't be involved in any type of criminal activity whatsoever. That means no arrests, no arguments, no domestic squabbles, no, you know, police called because OJ's arguing with somebody. You can't, you got to be damn careful, man. You got to shut your freaking mouth. You can't have any connection to any felons whatsoever. No connection to the underworld or somebody else who has been convicted or is doing something horrible. You can't even have connections like that. Then you'll be pulled into the parole office and be questioned. And you could go back to jail. There's a lot of stuff he's got to be careful about. Then, of course, the Goldman family, because he murdered Ron Goldman. Well, in a civil suit, they found O.J. Simpson responsible for the death of Ron Goldman. And he owes them tons of money. They're going to go after him again. So if you think O.J. is just going to stand on the golf course with a giant smile on his face, then you're probably a Trump supporter in the sense that when people have in-baked personalities, like Donald Trump has a personality flaw, which will always hang himself by a noose on the highest tree, so is O.J. Simpson. He's got the same personality flaw of entitlement. And that, too, will be his demise. A lot of demises going on. So much for O.J. I mean, that was very anticlimactic. We knew he was going to be released, and he will be released, and, you know, the parole board would say, yeah, you've spent almost 10 years in jail for us giving you a sentence that we wouldn't have given anybody else. We put you in jail, O.J., because you're an asshole, and there's a provision in the law that if you murder people and you get away with it, then we will be on your ass until we find something. And we did, and you spend some time in jail, like a whole decade of your life, because that's the way we do things here, man. When we're pissed at you, you know, you can go out and hire the most expensive lawyers in the world to get you off, but don't mess with us. We'll get you on something. And we did. And your personality flaw of walking into hotel rooms, orchestrating a hotel room invasion, bringing people in with guns. I mean, kind of we got you. And you'll do it again. So we'll keep the lights on in the jail cell for you, babe. We'll see you soon. You take care now. You have a good little golf game, O.J. I suggest you go to the little putt-putt down the street because I don't think you're going to have time for 18 holes, if you know what I mean. Orenthal. Oh, Orenthal. How you doing, Orenthal? Or should I call you Orenthal? Anyway, the other guy that's in deep trouble is, I think he's the president now. I can't believe it, but I think he is. I think this Trump guy is actually the president. And a lot of people are walking around saying he's not my president, and I'm one of them. He's not my president. He certainly doesn't represent my morals and my views of what a presidency is like, but that doesn't make any difference. I can say whatever I want, and he can do whatever he wants to do, quite obviously, so we're just not going to get along. I made a prediction the day that he was inaugurated, and I said that this man will be under indictment or under investigation or under impeachment proceedings by August. Here we are in the waning days of July, and it seems like the floor is just about to collapse from under him. My prediction about impeachment proceedings in August, that may not happen, although there may be announcement of requesting those because of the following. As moronic, annoying, and irritating as Donald Trump may be, and there are many adjectives I've left out that I could use, like ineffective, liar, manipulator, deceiver. I can go on and on, but I'm just pulling out all the nasty adjectives in the dictionary, and they all seem to be applying to him, as far as I'm concerned. 35% of you think he's wonderful and doing a great job. I have nothing to say to that, because I don't know what to say to that. I don't even know how to start with you people, so I'm just going to leave you alone. You are the people where if he stood in the middle of Manhattan, shot somebody in broad daylight, you'd still support him. That's you guys. That's you guys, because that's basically what he's doing. Anyway, what irritated me the most about him was the fact that he is a liar and he's hiding something. Never have I ever met anybody really in my life who has tried to hide something more than this man does. And he happens to be the president, and that is just the top of the suck meter for everybody. Or should be. He has claimed since the very beginning, and no other person even running for office has done this, he has refused to show his tax returns. The reason was that he was under an audit, which is continual for him, so he can't show them. It's not proper to do that. The IRS continually responds by saying it's perfectly fine to release your tax returns even if you're under audit. Donald Trump says that's not true. The IRS is lying to you. Yeah, the IRS is lying to me. Yeah, right. I mean, choose your battles, man. You can't have 5,000 battles going on at once. This guy does, and he thinks he can handle them all. Anyway, something extremely suspect about a man of that type of wealth not releasing his financial dealings, his banking dealings, his tax returns. Why? It's not just because he's under audit. He refuses to do so. Now he's been president for 6 months. He still refuses to give you any financial information on him. He refuses. Now there's a Russian investigation by special investigator Mueller, who is well respected throughout Washington. Now there's a question of Trump's money going into Russian banks and being laundered to banks that were in sanction. So this becomes open game for the investigation team. Trump is livid. He's been angry before. He's been vindictive before. This is major to him. This is it. You've got to believe, no matter what side you may be on in this war of the words, you've got to believe there's something in those tax returns. There's something in his financial dealings that will destroy him. That either will destroy his reputation permanently or actually land him a conviction for wrongdoing, money laundering, etc. He sees now the path to exposing his tax returns and his financial dealings. He knows there's something in there, and he knows what it is, that will destroy him without question and destroy his family's businesses. He's done something incredibly horrible. And he said something through all of this that gives me this clue. And he said it a long time ago, even though he knew he was never going to release his tax returns or his financial dealings to the public. He knew it, and he will never do that. What he said was, the tax laws of the United States are such, yeah, I use them. I can finagle them. They are there to be finagled with. I can maneuver through them. It's not the honest or right thing to do, but everybody does it. Not everybody does it, Don. You've done it in a major way that's going to screw you big time. And he knows that. He knows it. So one might say, well, if the IRS is auditing his tax returns, why haven't they come up with anything? The IRS has the tax returns. Because this goes deeper. This could get into criminal activity. And it's not so much the tax returns that are opened up. It's the information on the tax returns that would be further investigated. And they would find, in my estimation, my assessment, they will find dealings with Russian and Russian banks and Russian financial commodities that are totally illegal, knowingly. Donald Trump also makes a huge mistake by opening his mouth. And if there's any type of conflict to what they find in the financial digging and to what he said, then he would be lying. And that would open up Pandora's box. I do believe that Donald Trump will indeed be under indictment quite soon, as soon as they dig into the finances. Trump is doing everything he can with his legal team, with his threats of firing people, of digging up dirt on people that are against him. He's doing everything he can because he knows there's something there. He knows what it is. It's a large group of something there, and it's found in his financial dealings. The term follow the money is textbook here. Do I know what it is? No. Does the investigation team, does Mueller suspect what it may be? Yeah, I think he does. I think they do. And I think the scope and the power of this investigation team is finally hitting home with Trump to the point where he might be losing control. There is something there. There is an Achilles heel. If touched, if probed, will bring him down. I don't know what that is, Donald, because I'm not on any investigation team. But I think it's quite evident you're hiding something major by the way that you respond to anybody touching you in the field of investigating your finances. You've done and have continued to do something extraordinarily weird. And it's going to come out. And you're cooked.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including the Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe We'll try to forget about this one.
I actually went to the beach yesterday. White Caucasian thin-skinned boy went to the beach yesterday. Oh, man. Tori Lagarde, who appears on the show on a weekly basis, invited me down to her beach place. I went. Get away. Yeah, I know I dislike the beach. I talked about this yesterday on the program. I dislike the beach greatly. And I spent most of the time sitting on a porch drinking wine and eating potato chips. I've gained 2,000 pounds as a result. But it was very, very nice. Very nice. Looked out over the water, the ocean. Very nice. Very nice. You know what I found out, though? I took my sandals off, which I very rarely do, and I walked down to the beach, and I put my feet in the ocean. and I waded in there. I waded in there up to my private parts, and that's about as deep in the ocean as I want to get. I found some cake in the ocean, which is kind of interesting. It'd be a great song, actually. And all of a sudden, I saw these little fish swimming around my legs, and I thought, oh my God, they're piranha. They weren't, but I thought maybe they could be. And then I thought, no, that's not possible standing on Cape Cod. I don't think they have piranha there. Then I thought, well, anything's possible. Then I thought, well, that's not possible. And then I thought, well, if anything's possible, then it is possible. I argued with myself. And then there were these plants on the bottom of the beach floor there. And they were like, they were playing with my ankles, you know. And I thought, oh, my God, is that a school of piranha? There's. I didn't know this, but in the ocean, there's actually fish. I thought the ocean was just a gigantic swimming pool, but it's not. There's living stuff in it. I'm standing in a body of water with living stuff in it, and seaweed. It felt like it was going to pull me down and into the grips of quicksand. It's a horrible experience. And as all this living stuff is swimming around my ankles, just waiting to gnaw my legs off, I look up and I see the sun. The sun is so bright, and I can feel my skin burning. I can almost see smoke sizzling off my shoulders. My freckles are like running around saying, whoa, we're in trouble. And I'm picturing my skin going from a lily white, beautiful, powdery Caucasian tint to deep red, scarred purple. And I take out my SPF 625. I don't think I need 625 in SPF, but I use it anyway just to psychologically be sure. And I'm spreading this stuff all over my body like I'm in a burn unit somewhere in a hospital. I mean, I'm just covering my... You can't even see me anymore. I'm just like a giant ball of lotion. And I had to wear a hat so that my skull wouldn't get burned like a laser from the sun. I don't like it, man. I just don't like it. And then I look at the beach and I see all these kids running around. And these families there just lying in the sun like some type of Kenny Rogers rotisserie chicken. What's wrong with you people? You're not a food. You're not lying there for dinner to slow roast yourself in pan gravy. I know a girl who actually goes tanning, not at the beach. She goes to one of these establishments, and I don't want to put these establishments down, but I will say to you that I find them quite intimidatingly awful in the sense that I cannot picture taking my body lying in a tube with these ultraviolet, purple and white, yellow lights and lying in a tube and baking myself like I'm in a convection oven. I just, and she does this, and I say, why do you do this to yourself? And she says, well, I'm too white, and I need to have some color. Well, why? Because I look pasty white. I don't look good. Okay. Well, maybe you should just throw yourself in a microwave and wait until you're done, till the bell goes off. God, you're cooking yourself in an oven. What's wrong with you? All this bothers me greatly. And why does it bother me greatly? Is it because I'm concerned about you? No. No, I'm not concerned about you. You do whatever you want. I'm not concerned about you. If you want to destroy yourself, then go do it. Now, my concern is that if something happens to you, and you hurt your body or you get sick because of the silly things you do to yourself, I've lost a listener. That's all I care about. I have a certain number of listeners for this program. It's growing. Thank you very much. But if you like get sick or something, or you burn your skin, or you come up with some type of disease because you're tanning too much, I've lost a listener, and I have to replace you with somebody else. And I really am so lazy, I don't want to do that. So it's not that I care about you. It's just I care if you get sick and can't listen to the show anymore. That's all. Not a big deal. It's not what you think. It is the summer. When I was a kid, I used to go to drive-in theaters. Did you ever? They don't have many of them anymore. In various parts of the country, there are more of them than others. I was assuming the Deep South, you probably have drive-in theaters. You know, you park your car in front of a large screen outside so the mosquitoes can eat you alive, and you put a speaker in your window or you Bluetooth it to your car or something like that, and you put the kids in the back seat near the gun rack, you know, so they don't bother you in the front seat. And you look out the front window of the car to, you know, you got to move your head just right to see the entire screen in front of you outside. And you watch movies in the comfort of your garbage-ridden, smelly, disgusting car, which is incredibly comfortable, as opposed to sitting in a movie theater with air conditioning. I totally don't understand. I never understood drive-in theaters unless you're going there with a person of the opposite sex or whatever, and you're going to make out in the car and you don't give a crap what's on the movie screen. Other than that, I don't see the point to a drive-in theater. But here's something interesting. You could actually have outdoor movies in your backyard. Of course, if you're living in New York City apartment, this is not applicable to you. Go have a sandwich. But if you have a place where you have a backyard, how about having a backyard movie theater? That would be an incredible summer party. The mosquitoes would love you if you did this. So I thought it would be interesting to find a guest who could tell us how to put together an outdoor theater, which sounds like a good party time. Sounds like an innovative idea. I'm always interested in innovative ideas, whether they work for me or not. I'm always interested in hearing about it. So let's check this out.
Well, hello, Ron. How are you?
I'm great, Carrie. This is Carrie Riley, TV host, comedian, lifestyle writer. She's on Today's Show, Food Network, Cooking Channel. I have a feeling if you open up your closet, she'll be in there too. You're all over the place.
That's right. I'll be in your closet. Perfect.
Well, you're welcome. We're talking about something that everybody loves. We're talking about going to the movies, but not to a movie theater. We're talking about doing it in the backyard. I mean, movies.
We are. You know, it's summertime, and it's awesome to get that entertaining outside, right? We want to spend as much time outside as we can during the summer months. So
yes.
I like to call this a moonlight and movies party. And it's actually very simple to do, and it's great for all ages. And there's a little bit of a DIY component, which is super easy. You can either rent an inflatable screen, or what I do is I take a king-size bed sheet, and I tack it onto 2 2x4s, and then that becomes your movie screen. Or I've also projected it on the side of my garage, and it was great, too.
So
you're
going
to get a table,
so
you can put the projector on it,
and
your speakers. And there's a lot of fun components that come into play to make it a really fun party. I've actually partnered with some great brands that I want to tell you about.
Okay. Now, first of all, where do we get a projector?
You know, the projector, they are available online at a very reasonable price, but I've actually rented mine from my local library.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people have rental stations in town where they might rent tables and chairs and party items,
not bad.
They always have a projector.
Very cool. Yeah, I guess it's not a big deal anymore to get that done, especially with the digital things. It's, you know, there's no more.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It used to be a very expensive endeavor.
Yes.
It used to be a big deal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now it's just a very simple thing to get.
Okay, I guess the biggest trick is to wait till it gets dark.
Well, yes, of course,
okay,
right?
All right, okay.
A lot
of my listeners can't figure that out, so I had to throw it in there just in case. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I choose a film, something that everybody probably likes, an old classic, or maybe something that's available. Now what do I do? This sounds like a party. It sounds like I'm kind of throwing a party here.
Yes, it is. But you know what? It's an easy party, and it's a simple one. So there's a lot of ways to customize it and make it a lot of really fun.
Okay.
When you think of movies, you're going to think of popcorn, of course.
Yes.
Everybody's
got to
have popcorn.
Got to have
Everybody
it.
Everybody loves popcorn.
Got to have
right?
it. Yep.
So one way we can customize it at a very low budget way for families is to do a build-your-own popcorn bar with toppings. We've got chocolate pieces. You can put Parmesan cheese on, and kids can just go right down the bar and put their toppings of choice on their popcorn that they're just going to love.
Cool.
And moms are going to love it because popcorn is whole grain. It's naturally low fat and calories, gluten-free. It's non-GMO, right? And
that
it's also, it's not expensive. So you can feed your whole party for just pennies.
And you don't have to worry about food falling on the floor. It's okay.
Because you're outside.
Yes.
The little squirrels are going to get it. You're going to feed the little neighborhood animals, so it's perfect.
Perfect. Okay. what other things do I need? What else do I need?
Yeah, so you, like you mentioned before, you want to go ahead and pick a great movie.
Yeah.
I actually suggest doing two screenings
because
once this movie screen goes up and the projector starts, everybody in the neighborhood is going to start filtering through your yard because it's really exciting. And so do an earlier screening for the younger children and pick an animated flick that everybody loves, you know, that's timeless. And then the second screening can be for the young adults as well as the adults.
Yeah.
And you want to pick something that's cinematically beautiful. Right now, I love Paramount's Ghost in the Shell, which is starring Scarlett Johansson. And it's great because it's got suspense, it's got a good story, it's in the future, it's about a woman saved from death, but now she's cyber-enhanced to be a perfect soldier. She's beautiful, and it's super easy because it's available on iTunes, and so you can just very quickly get it before your party.
Okay, I've not seen that film, so that would be good.
Yes.
All right.
You've got to check it out. You're
going
to love it.
All right, now what other last-minute tips do you have here?
Yeah, so don't forget, you want your guests to be comfortable. And I suggest drag out those old comforters that you have up in the attic. We all have them. Lay them all over the lawn, some throw pillows, some stadium chairs, And, you know, it's movie under the stars, which is perfect, but don't forget the bug spray because you don't want movie in the bugs, right?
Yeah, that can be bad. That can be bad.
Yeah. So, and you know, you could go to popcorn.org for more recipes, like I just suggested, and for other movies, you can go to iTunes,
okay,
which is great.
Now, can I charge like $10 a person?
Hey, why not charge 20? Bring it up.
Wow. Good idea.
Right?
It's not a bad
idea. I'm not coming to your house if I have to pay at the door. Wait a minute. I know how you work, Mr. Ron. I see it.
Hey, you know, radio doesn't pay that much, so I've got a supplement. Yeah.
Fine. We'll do a cover charge.
Okay, that's it. Something minimal. Maybe a 2-bucket popcorn minimum or something.
Perfect.
Okay. Now, how do I follow Carrie Riley?
Hey, you can follow Carrie Riley over at NotSoSkinnyMom.com mm-hmm. and over at The Little Things on The Daily Glow. It's a daily talk show.
Perfect. It's fun to refer to somebody in the third person as if they're not here.
I often refer to myself in the third person, so it works perfectly, Ron.
Yeah.
Carrie likes Ron.
Right. Ron walks around the house sometimes saying, "Where's Ron? I can't find him." It's very embarrassing.
He's right here.
It's very embarrassing to the nurses. Okay. all right. So once more, the places we can visit to get more information.
Yeah. So check out popcorn.org and iTunes.
Perfect. Carrie, it's been fun speaking to you.
It's been fun talking to you, Mr. Ron.
Thank you, Miss Carrie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's interesting stuff. Too many. Hey, I'm out of time. I got no more time for you. This has been really a wonderful experience for the both of us, hasn't it? I don't know when I've had so much fun. Actually, I do. I have it all written down. The one regret I have in life, and it's the one regret. I mean, my life has been okay, really okay. And that's good. But the one regret that I have is that I never had a diary. I've had dairy before. I have ice cream and milk and sour cream and yogurt. But I've never jumbled the letters to the point where I had a diary. I've had diarrhea. I get that a lot now. Which is healthy. Cleans you out. Why am I talking about this? But I never had a diary, and I wish that I had from the first day that I could write. Like, I think I could start writing when I was like 2 days old. I don't know. I was an exceptional child. I wish I would have written down my thoughts for every day that I was alive.
Today I went to the store. I had steak for dinner. It didn't agree with me too well. I met a nice person. She was very nice. We talked about things. I wish I had written things down and I could go back to the age of 8 years old and read my thoughts and my activities and what I did on a particular day. What a wonderful, complete snapshot of my life it would have been. But most people don't do that. Very few have kept diaries on the events of every single day going back to their childhood. What a fascinating, fascinating read that would have been for me. But I can't go backwards. So now I'm hoping for reincarnation. And if I'm reincarnated and I come back as a human being, and there's an office supply store nearby, I'm going to get a diary and start writing things down as soon as I'm able. If you're a parent and you have a child who is around 7, 8 years old and they know how to write and how to put their thoughts together, encourage them to start a diary for the rest of their lives. You'll find it fascinating and usually very helpful and introspective. It will pull your life together, all your thoughts, your dreams, your hopes, your positions,
Very interesting. Me? I didn't do that. So what the hell am I talking about? Too late. Too late. Well, Ron, why don't you start a diary right now if you're so concerned? Because I don't do anything. There's nothing to write down. I woke up. I ate some food. I went back to bed. Dear diary.